here or from far away, we want you to know how thankful we are that you are present here, how glad we are to see you, and how very much we appreciate your support of what we're doing and looking into the Word of God. Tonight we're thinking about the precious words of Jesus that we've been singing about. And I believe you're here because you care about the words of the Lord, because you care about the things that Jesus has given to us by means of the Holy Spirit, the words that direct us in our lives today as the people of God. As the people of God, we can help one another. As the people of God, we can draw strength from our brothers and sisters in Christ. As the people of God, we can encourage one another to help one another along the way. And we can prepare ourselves to go out into the world and take the light of that gospel that Jesus gave so that others might learn and come to Him. And I hope tonight that we can do that as we prepare ourselves to think about another statement in the Bible that stresses the importance of the words of Jesus. One of the important statements, I believe, about the message of Jesus, about the voice of Jesus Christ, is found in a parable that is spoken by our Lord in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. I'm certain that for those of you that have been Christians for a long time, this is a very familiar passage about Jesus and about the importance of listening to the voice of Jesus Christ. Our Savior said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." You know, my friends, we have a wonderful opportunity tonight. We have a wonderful ability to know and understand the things that Jesus was speaking about here. We have an advantage over the people of that day and time who could not evidently understand the spiritual language that our Savior was using. Because of the course of time, because of the providence of God, because of the gift of God's mystery, because now we have had that mystery unveiled or uncovered for us, because we have a book called the Bible, because we have the totality of God's teaching, tonight we can know exactly who this one is that Jesus was speaking about. But notice that Jesus indicates to us here that the people of that day and time did not know what he was speaking about. They did not understand the language that he was using and the spiritual message that he was trying to declare unto them. Our Savior went on to explain himself in the verses that follow. And in just a moment, we'll look a little bit further at some of those things that he declared. But I want to think with you tonight about what Jesus was declaring here and what he was saying about himself as the shepherd of the sheep. There are three simple points that I think that we need to glean from this passage of Scripture tonight. Just three simple points that Jesus is making. First of all, we must know the shepherd. It is absolutely imperative that we be able to identify just who this is. Jesus is talking about the shepherd of the sheep, and we must be able to recognize and know who that shepherd of the sheep really is. One of the things that we can do in this regard is to go to the Old Testament and notice the prophecies that spoke of this one who would come and would be God's shepherd of the sheep. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you happen to have an Old Testament, I hope you'll read a few of these verses with me. I promise not to be lengthy with these readings, but I believe they will help us to understand that those that had received the message of God in old time could have been able to identify just who this was that Jesus was speaking about in John chapter 10. In Ezekiel chapter 34, notice several things that the prophet of God declared about this shepherd of the sheep. In Ezekiel 34, we begin reading at verse 11 and read through verse 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Now let's skip down a few verses in this chapter and notice verses 22 through 24. This is Ezekiel 34, verses 22 through 24. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know, one of the interesting things that we could consider right off as we read these verses in the book of Ezekiel is the fact that it's speaking about David. And King David is one that has already been long gone from the scene. He is already dead at the time of this writing. So we know that the writer is talking about someone of the seed of David, someone that is going to be a king like David, someone that would be called the new David. Let's continue to read some other verses here in Ezekiel. Chapter 37, this time verses 24 through 28. Ezekiel 37, 24 through 28. Ezekiel continues to reveal things about this shepherd. He says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Familiar as we are with the Old Testament language of the prophets, we recognize right away that this is talking about the Messiah of God. This is the one that will be anointed by God. This is the one that God had promised to his Old Testament people. This will be the one that will sit upon the King of David, and this will be the one that will reign over God's everlasting kingdom. We know, because we read in the New Testament about this one, that it is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, in the New Testament, Jesus claims to be the fulfillment of these words that we've just read. In John chapter 10, Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. I am the one that the prophets were speaking of long ago. Continuing in our text of John chapter 10, verse 7, notice how Jesus makes this claim very clearly.
Jesus therefore said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Notice the statement in verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Notice it again in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is declaring himself to be the Messiah, the promised one of God. What we've read about in the Old Testament is now identified for us. Jesus said, I am that one that God promised to send. I am the Savior. I am the deliverer. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. It is important, my friends, that we come to recognize this fact. Tonight, the most important thing that we will have to consider is the fact that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We must know the shepherd. We must recognize that he is the Savior of the world. There are many other passages where, of course, Jesus is proclaimed as such. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the Hebrew writer says, Now the God of peace who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. He declares, so that we may know without dispute, this is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, Peter says to his brethren, For ye were going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Notice the word shepherd and bishop are capitalized in this passage. And that, of course, is an indication to us this is not talking about just any shepherd. This is not talking about the shepherds of the local flock. This is not talking about the elders in the church. Peter would write to elders in the church in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, and he would talk about how he himself was a shepherd or an elder over the sheep. But there was one shepherd that was over all, and that is the good shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, that passage that we just indicated, he says, And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, ye shall receive the crown of glory. One more, and that is from a beautiful statement found in Revelation 7 and verse 17. Here the writer John says, as he reveals God's message to us, he says, For the Lamb, and we know that one is Jesus, For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them unto fountains of water of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. When the Old Testament psalmist began to talk about the Lord, he said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He talked about how he would guide him and lead him and cause him to find pasture. And he would not be afraid, even in the face of certain death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. In the New Testament, we find out that the good shepherd of the sheep, this kingdom that God promised to establish, this kingdom of which both Jew and Gentile would now be a part of the family of God, has a great shepherd over the sheep. And it is none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing that we will ever learn whenever we study the Word of God. And that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. We must know that. But now we come to a second important point in this text and what Jesus declares here. And that is that not only must we know or recognize who the Shepherd is, but we must know and we must hear or receive His voice. We must listen to what He says. It is one thing to know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It is another thing to listen to His voice. Note the text of John chapter 10 again, especially verses 2 through 4. And notice in verse 3, Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice. In verse 4, he says, they know his voice. Whose voice? The voice of Jesus, the voice of the good shepherd. This message is found throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament. God pointed to the time when men would look to this one, and in the New Testament we're told to listen to him again and again and again. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. We must hear the Son. Whenever Jesus is declared to be the Son of God in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, it is by the very voice of God himself. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God says something to those three men and to all of us that we must not forget about this one. He says, hear ye him. God wants us to hear the voice of his Son, the Good Shepherd. In Acts chapter 3, rehearsing the statement of Moses to the children of Israel, when he told them, there's going to be a prophet that God would raise up in the last day, like unto me, Moses said. Unto him shall ye hearken in all things that he shall declare unto you. And he said to those people that the one who will not listen and the one who will not hearken to the voice of that prophet will be cut off, will be destroyed. We know that Peter is now declaring that Jesus Christ is that very prophet that all men must hear. In John 6 and verse 68, when some of the disciples of Jesus became discouraged and walked away from him, it caused our Savior to be discouraged. And he turned to the 12 that he had chosen and he asked them, will ye also go away? And Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can we go? To whom can we go to find what you alone have? Peter says, we do know and believe thou art the Holy One of Israel. This is the one that we must listen to. This is the one that we must hear. Now, my friends, what we've seen is that we've been able to identify who the shepherd is. And we've been able to recognize that what he's calling upon us to do is to hear his voice. We must know the voice of the shepherd. But a question that comes to our thinking right here at this point is, how can we know the voice of the shepherd? Where can we hear the voice of the shepherd? How do we know that we are hearing the voice of the shepherd? The only place that we can find the voice of the shepherd is in his word, in the scriptures. You know, I'd give anything to hear my father's voice again. As far as I know, I do not have any recording of my father's voice. I do, however, have some things that my father wrote. And whenever I read those things that my father wrote, I can hear his voice still to this day. There's no way that we can hear the voice of Jesus except by hearing his word and reading the things that he has determined that we should have. We hear the voice of Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. Consider some passages here just briefly. In John chapter 16, Jesus promised to give these men, the apostles, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They were to be guided into all of the truth. Thankfully, we can have the voice of Jesus today because the apostles received it and wrote it down. And to their remembrance, everything was given unto them that Jesus wanted them to know, that Jesus wanted to give to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the process by which this came about, the Apostle Paul speaks of as the Spirit of God searching what was in the mind of God and giving it unto man. Giving it to us in spiritual language. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The words of the Holy Bible are inspired by God. Every word came because God directed that word to be given. And you and I today can know the message of Jesus because the apostles had the revelation given unto them. Another statement that we think of in this regard is Paul's statement to the Ephesians, where he talked about how by revelation he had received an understanding of the mystery of God. And he said to the Ephesians, when you read what I have written, you can have an understanding. What was not once made known is now made known. And we can know the voice of Jesus by reading the words of the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. What we're seeing is that we know the voice of the shepherd by hearing his words in the scripture, like this text of John chapter 10. And after he was taken from this earth, the things that he gave to the apostles by means of the direction of the Holy Spirit. These are infallible words. These are God-breathed words. These are words that cannot be shaken or destroyed. These are the very words that Jesus has given to us. The Savior himself spoke of this in John 6. I think a very important statement for us to understand is when Jesus says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." How are we drawn to God? Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned cometh unto me." Do you see those three words? They shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned cometh unto me. Jesus said, in order for you to come to me, you're going to have to be taught. In order for you to come to me, you're going to have to hear my words. You're going to have to learn my words in order to come unto me. No one can come to God except through Jesus. And no one can come to Jesus unless he's taught of God. We must hear the voice of Jesus. One other statement in that regard, in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I don't know about you, but when I stand before him in the last day, I want to be on the side of the word. I want to be one who heard the word. I want to be one who loved the word of God, who obeyed the word of God. Because Jesus says if we reject him and reject his words, if we do not listen to his voice, then these very words are going to be what judges us in the last day. Well, my friends, we've seen two important points, and now we need to see a third. Not only must we know the shepherd, not only must we know or recognize or hear his voice, but Jesus says in a third point, we must not know, we must not hear, we must not receive the voice of strangers. Notice how Jesus makes that point very clear in verse 5 and again in verse 8. The voice of the shepherd is discerned by the sheep. They hear his voice. They know his voice. But the Bible says they do not know the voice of strangers. The sheep did not hear them, verse 8. You know, this is a very well-known fact. All of us, no doubt, have seen it demonstrated many times in our experiences. You don't have to be a farm boy like I was in order to know that this is true. But growing up on a farm and having sheep at one time on the farm, I saw this illustrated. I saw this demonstrated. If you've never grown up around sheep, you probably have seen it happen with dogs and cats. I don't know about cats. Sometimes cats don't come when you call them. They're very independent, and sometimes they do not even respond to their master's voice. But you know how whenever you have a pet dog, that dog knows the voice of its owner and the one who feeds that dog. And so whenever the dog hears your voice, he responds. But if it's a stranger that calls out to him or calls him to come, then usually a dog will not respond to the voice of a stranger. That's the way it is with sheep. That's the way it is with cows and any animal that man has been able to domesticate. Animals come to know, just like human beings, the sound of the voice. They trust the voice of the one who loves and cares for them. But they will be wary of a stranger. On the farm when I was a teenager, I had the duty as the oldest of the children to feed the animals when I came home from school every afternoon. And one of the things I had to do was to feed the sheep, to make sure the sheep were brought in from the pasture and brought into the barn lot in the winter months or during times of inclement weather. They had to be brought into the barn. And so I would go out into the barn lot, and I, instead of going back to get the sheep, would call to them, and they would come. One afternoon after school, a friend came home with me, and when I went out to feed the animals, he enjoyed the exercises. And whenever he heard me call the sheep and saw the sheep start to run to come to be fed, he said, let me try it. And, you know, I'd give you a demonstration of what I did when I called the sheep tonight, but it might scare some of you. It might wake somebody up that's having a good nap right now. I'm afraid to do that. But my friend Ronnie said, let me do it. Let me call the sheep. And he tried to imitate what I did when I called the sheep. And you know, immediately they stopped where they were. They knew that was the voice of a stranger. That wasn't one of the Dickey boys. They didn't know who this one was. I tell you, I had a time that night getting the sheep to come on in as long as he was there. Because sheep are just naturally that way. They're very wary of strangers. They'll follow one another wherever one goes. I found out if one goes in the wrong place, all the others will follow. That's the way it is about sheep. We have to be careful as sheep, or we'll not follow the shepherd, and we'll follow one another. A lot of lessons about sheep and shepherds in the Bible. But the one that Jesus wants us to get here is that we must listen to his voice. We must know the voice of the good shepherd. We must not know the voice of the stranger. The sheep will not follow when they hear a stranger's voice. And of course, the great spiritual application here is that we must not listen to the voice of a strange teacher, of a false teacher. Whenever we hear that discordant teaching, whenever we hear something that we've not heard from the voice of our shepherd Jesus, whenever it's something that Jesus does not teach, when we cannot find it in the Bible, we've sung tonight, give me the Bible. And whenever we know the Bible, we'll be able to say to that person trying to give us something other than the Bible, that's not in the Bible. That's not the voice of Jesus, my shepherd. We must be able to know and recognize that there are false teachers and there are strangers today, and they're not bringing the message of Jesus Christ. You know, this is taught in the Bible so many places. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You know, that's why there's such a great danger to people today, because they think they're listening to the voice of someone they can trust. Men wear suits and ties, and they have Bibles in their hands, and they'll talk a little bit about things that are found in the Bible, but if you're not careful, they'll begin to give you things that are not there. And you can accept those things, and you think that these are just sheep, these are just followers of the Lamb. But Jesus warns that they're ravening wolves. Not just wolves, but ravening wolves. These are wolves that destroy. These are wolves that will tear your soul apart. These are wolves that will destroy you, just like the devil himself, a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. My friends, we need to take the warning of Jesus seriously. This is why we do not listen to the voice of strangers. In Acts 20, verses 28 and 29, Paul warned the Ephesian elders. He said, from among your own selves, men shall arise teaching false things or perverse things, seeking to draw away disciples after them. He says, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You know, the problem was the flock started listening to some other voice than the voice of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John says, prove the spirits, try the spirits whether they are of God. Why should we do that, John? Because he says, many false prophets are gone forth into the world. We ought to be shocked by the number of false prophets. We ought to be shocked that scattered across this area tonight are churches and buildings where people meet and they listen to false teachers and false prophets all the time. Most of our neighbors and friends are directed and guided. If they have any interest in religious matters at all, they're guided and directed by false prophets. John said in that day and time, there are many of them out there. And I'll tell you, I would have to say the same thing today. I'm not an inspired man like John the Apostle was, but I know from experience there's still many, many of them out there. And if you don't do what John said to do, you're going to be in trouble. Try the spirits. Prove the spirits whether they are of God. How do you prove them? You determine whether or not what they're saying is true or false. How can you know whether it's true or false? Because first of all, you know the voice of the Good Shepherd. If you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, if you're familiar with the language of Jesus, if you know the Word of God, you're going to be able to know the voice of that stranger. You're going to be able to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Am I of God or am I of the evil one? The only way that you can tell is to look in your Bible and determine whether or not it's the voice of Jesus, whether or not it's the voice of God or the voice of some stranger. You know, I'm told that the treasury men that deal with counterfeiting are able to spot counterfeit bills because they know the good bills. It's not that there's something about counterfeit that's just so easy to spot. They are so familiar with what is true and right that any time they feel or look or touch that which is counterfeit, they can spot it just like that. You and I don't have that ability. I suppose it's because even though we have the money, it goes through our hands so fast we don't have time to become that familiar with it. But it's the same way with the Word of God. When you know the Bible, when you know the truth, when you know the voice of the shepherd, anything else stands out and you're able to tell and recognize the voice of the stranger. I'd like to make this practical tonight by thinking about the voice of strangers and what they sometimes say to us. The voice of the stranger today says you don't have to be baptized. How many times have we heard that? How many times have we talked to our religious neighbors and friends and they are a part of a religious group or a church or a denomination that doesn't believe baptism is necessary? And we're trying to teach them the gospel and they say, oh, my preacher says you don't have to be baptized. You know, the majority of Protestant denominations today don't believe you have to be baptized. Most people do not think, and most people have not been baptized as the Scripture teaches. But whenever you hear that kind of teaching, you know that's the voice of a stranger. Because the voice of the Savior says differently. The voice of the Savior says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. So which voice are you going to hear? On the day of Pentecost, guided by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And yet there are teachers today that will stand before men and women and say, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't find baptism necessary for salvation. Do you see how clear it is in the Bible? The voice of the Savior, the voice of Scripture, and the voice of the stranger. Let me ask you tonight, which voice are you listening to? Whenever I hear the voice of the stranger, sometimes I hear him talk about someone as a religious leader, as a father. And they address certain religious people as father. Or they call someone who preaches reverend. People have tried to call me reverend. And I always try to refuse that title. It's a title. It's capitalized. And what it is talking about is how revered I am. And that's not right. It's not right. It's not found in the Scriptures. When I hear the voice of Jesus, I hear him saying that we shouldn't call any man father upon the earth. Not talking about our earthly fathers. Jesus didn't have any problem with that. But he's talking about our spiritual father, our spiritual teacher, our spiritual originator. And call no one that, he said. Because one is your Father in heaven. I have one spiritual Father, and that's God. So I call no earthly man my Father. Isn't it so plain and clear? When we listen to Jesus, we will not hear the voice of the stranger. And denominational teaching will not be practiced by any who love the truth of God. Don't call me reverend. Don't call me pastor. Don't call me rabbi. You know, I wear none of those titles because I'm trying to listen to the voice of Jesus. Only one time in the Bible do we find the word reverend, and it's in the Old Testament where the psalmist talks about God and says, holy and reverend is his name. You know, folks, my name is Bob Dickey, and it's not holy and it's not reverend. But God is. And we need to recognize in every way that we can apply this test and prove the spirits to see whether they are of God. Who shall we believe? Who shall we listen to? Are you listening to the voice of Jesus? Or are you listening to the voice of the stranger? The voice of the stranger says sprinkling is baptism. It's just as good as baptism as being dunked in water. So sprinkling is all right. As long as you've been sprinkled, then that's enough. But whenever I hear the voice of the scripture, I recognize that baptism is a burial in water. In Romans chapter 6, we're buried with Jesus and raised up with Jesus to walk in newness of life. And my friend, if you haven't been put under and raised up out of it, then you haven't really been baptized into Jesus Christ. You haven't been baptized into His death. You haven't been raised to walk with Him in newness of life. Jesus was not able to be alive after they put Him to death until God raised Him up. And you've not been raised up unless you've been put down. And you've got to be put down and you've got to be brought up. That's the action of that word baptism that we find in our Bibles. You know, John was baptizing in a certain place in the Jordan River, John 3 and verse 23, because it says there was much water there. It doesn't take much water to sprinkle. But John wasn't sprinkling. John was the baptizer. John was the immerser. And that's the action of baptism taught in the New Testament. Whenever we think about the example of the Ethiopian treasurer in Acts chapter 8, it says, whenever he confessed Christ, they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. You see how plain it is? Are you listening to the words of Jesus, or are you listening to the words of men? That's what we must ask ourselves. Today, whenever we hear the voice of the stranger, we hear the idea of once saved, always saved. It's a very comforting idea that once you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're safe. You cannot do anything to be lost. Boy, if I believed that, I could just rest easy and not do a thing. I wouldn't have to study my Bible. I wouldn't have to try to be good. I wouldn't have to try to keep myself out of trouble. I don't know about you, but all I do is try to keep myself out of trouble. Watch what I say. Watch what I think. Watch what my eyes see. Watch where my feet go. But if you're once saved, always saved, you've got it made. And that's the teaching of men. It's not the teaching of Jesus. Paul didn't know anything about this doctrine. It is not of Christ, it's of Calvin. Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected or a castaway. Paul said, I have to work at it. And you know, he said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, as he wrote to one of the churches in the Revelation letter, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Well, Keith, I'm going to kill this lamp up here before the week's over. I've got to try to save it for you if I can. Be thou faithful unto death. Jesus didn't know anything about once saved, always saved. He told these people, hang in there, keep with it, and be faithful unto me. Whenever we hear the voice of the stranger today, we hear them saying things like, one church is as good as another, or join the church of your choice. I never hear Jesus, the good shepherd, saying that. I hear Jesus saying, I will build my church. I hear Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, telling men of that first century time, that he shed his blood to build and to purchase the church. Acts 20 and verse 28. Whenever Paul told those Ephesian elders to take heed to themselves and to all the flock, he said, do it because this is the body of Jesus Christ, the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I'm trying to be emphatic tonight because it doesn't belong to someone else. It belongs to Jesus. The one you read about in your Bible is his. He's the head of it. There's only one head and there's only one body. Paul says there's one body, Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. You can understand how there's one God. You can see easily how there's one Lord. You know there's only one Holy Spirit. The same passage says there's only one faith. Only one Spirit of God directs us, and we can know what that faith is and be a part of that one body and have the one hope by means of the one baptism. It's as plain and simple as that. Which voice are you hearing? Who are you listening to today, the voice of Jesus or the voice of strangers? Today we're hearing the voice of strangers say homosexuality should be accepted. We should embrace that. Our children are being taught that in schools. They're being taught that this is just another lifestyle, and we should not be judgmental, and we should not say that people are doing bad things and they're not involved in a lifestyle that is going to be condemned by God. We just are trying to be very kind and non-judgmental about everything that people do today. And so our young people are growing up thinking homosexuality is acceptable with God. Where could we ever get that idea if we're listening to the voice of Jesus, if we're listening to the voice of the Spirit? When Paul wrote to the early church in Romans chapter 1, he described this lifestyle. He called it vile passions in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. He says that they that practice such things are worthy of death. Whether you're a woman with another woman or a man with another man, you cannot read Romans chapter 1, the latter part of that chapter, without seeing homosexuality described in language that no one can miss. And it's called vile. And Paul says that God declares that if you practice this, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul identifies that kind of lifestyle with two terms. He says in verses 9 through 11 that there are certain people that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he mentions among that list the effeminate and those that are abusers of themselves with men. It's homosexuality. It was practiced in ancient times. Evidently, some of those Corinthians had lived in that kind of lifestyle, and they were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified, they were cleaned up, and now they were children of God. You can change if you're a homosexual. You can be forgiven. But let no one think tonight that you can defend it, that you can embrace it, because if you do, you're listening to another voice, and not the voice of Jesus, not the voice of God. Well, there are 100 other things that we could say tonight by way of application, but one kind of gets them all, and that's the idea of the philosophy of our day and time, and that is choose your own way. You've got to go the way you want to go. Just choose for yourself and do as you please, whatever pleases you. I've got to be me. I've got to do my thing. That's the kind of voice that we hear today. It's not the voice of the Savior. It's not the voice of God. Jeremiah, a long time ago, knew better than that. He said, "Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve the things of this world and still serve God. You've got to choose. You've got to get on one side or the other. "He that is not with me is against me," Jesus said. "He that gathereth not scattereth." Don't think you can straddle the fence. A teacher of mine used to say, "Young man, you can't straddle the fence and be comfortable for very long." And I know, as a farm boy climbing over a barbed wire fence, that's true. You can't be on both sides. You've got to choose. Which way are you going to go? And that's why Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. This is your reasonable. This is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the voice of the Savior. That's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice that we need to hear. Tonight we've seen these three simple points. I hope the words of Jesus are impressed upon your mind. We must know the shepherd. We must know the voice of the shepherd. We must not know. We must not hear. We must not receive the voice of the stranger. You've listened kindly and patiently tonight. Listen one last time about what the shepherd himself says. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says that if we hear the teaching of the Scripture, we'll be taught of God. We'll be able to learn what we need to do. That's the words of Jesus in John 6, 44 and 45. Jesus said, "He that believes in me, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that was announced in those Old Testament passages that we read, unless you believe that he is the one, we will die in our sins." Jesus said we must believe. He said we must confess that he is the Son of God. And if we do that, he will confess us before the Heavenly Father. Matthew 10, 28 and following. Jesus says that we must repent of our sins, and unless we repent, we will perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Don't go away tonight and say, "Now, Bob Dickey said, Bob Dickey taught, the church there at Knowwood says or teaches," because we're looking to Jesus tonight. We're listening to His voice, and Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And Jesus says, if you are one who's done that, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. I hope you're listening to the voice of Jesus tonight. I hope that you're hearing what He says. I hope you're ready to do what He calls upon you to do. You know, there's power in listening to the words of Jesus. There's power in the sacrifice that Jesus made. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is? It's in the song that we're about to sing. It says, "What can wash away my sins?" And you know what the answer is? Nothing. Nothing.